Yes, you are, God. You are great. You are great, Lord. Your greatness is unsearchable. We feel that greatness today. We've been witnessing that greatness, oh God. We're going to witness it again and again. We're going to witness your greatness, oh God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to encourage you. Let's just give him some more praise for his greatness right now, Lord. This belongs to you. You're worthy. You are great. You do things beyond what we could ask or think, and certainly beyond what we can do. You're great in love. You're great in mercy. You're great in long-suffering. You're certainly great in power. You're great in mercy. You're great in wisdom. There were three kings, Israel's king, Judah's king, and Edom's king, that had joined as a trio of armies and nations to fight a war that they thought they would easily win. But things didn't go as was planned. So the king asked Elisha for help, determining God's will and asking for his help in their fight. God's help, God's man, God's plans were almost an afterthought, but the right thought to those three kings. And so in 2 Kings chapter 3, we step into the middle of this situation, and Elisha, the prophet, is speaking to the kings. In verse 16, he says, "Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For the Lord says, you will not see wind, you will not see rain. Yet, that valley shall be filled with water, so that you will have something to drink, you, your cattle, and your beast. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. And he will deliver the Moabites also into your hand." God is able. And he has a message of his ability and availability to this church today. I want his help to deliver it, and I know you want his help to receive it. Would you pray another time over the word of the Lord? Oh God, I pray that it is given right. I pray that it is given in faith. And then I pray that it is received correctly and received right and received with faith. For it is your powerful living word. And there's no telling what will come out of a faith and a belief in your word today and in the days to come. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. In the 15th verse of that chapter, the scripture says that Elisha called for a minstrel to come. And when the minstrel played, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha. And that's when he spoke in verse 16. And he said, "Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches." Simple message right there. Elisha heard from God. It's important we hear from God. And I want to add to that. Hear me right now. You will hear from God. God not only speaks, many times ministers will say, "I've heard from God," and that is true. But God not only speaks to ministers who are called to stand behind a pulpit. He speaks to his people. He speaks to common everyday individuals like you and I. You will, just take it to the bank right now, you will hear from God. He will speak clearly to you. He will not leave you unsure. He will not leave you wondering what to do. He will not leave you uncertain. You're going to hear from God about the victory you need. You're going to hear from him about the answer that you need. And by the way, I'll just throw this in. When the musician put his hand on the instrument, God laid his hand on the prophet. Musicians and singers that had been given the talent to play and to sing. Follow the Lord. Obey the Lord. Employ that talent. And I believe it has been and it will be just like that verse 15 says. When you lay your hand to your talent, God is going to lay his hand upon not just the prophet, but others who will be ministered to. I thank God for the anointed ministry of musicianship and singing and musical instruments that God has placed in his church corporately and specifically here at APC. It's time for everybody to plug in. I know that in a service, many times the spotlight is here and on the message. But there are more messages going on in this building today than just what is coming across this pulpit. And just at this particular time, God has already sent a message through the hands of our musicians and the voices of the singers and the voices of your singing. God will lay his hand upon the man of God. You will hear from God. And the answer that Elisha gives the kings, and you can imagine, there are three armies. It doesn't give us the numbers of those armies, but here they are going to fight against the enemy. It was Moab in this particular case. And they go to Elisha, and Elisha gives the kings an answer that they did not expect to receive. God's ways are not our ways. Elisha's answer was, go to work, boys. Dig ditches. Use the shovel. And God will do the rest of the plan. I would say today, the answers and the instructions that you get from God as you are praying about your situation may not be what you expect. How many have ever had that to happen? God answered and we kind of wrestled with that. We kind of maybe sometimes even rebuffed it because we felt like it would have been another type of answer. But God gave an answer and we're going to see the victory come to pass. And Elisha tells them, go and dig ditches that God is going to fill with water. And then he adds, God's also not only going to give you water, he's going to give you the war. He's going to give you the victory and deliver Moab. So they must have felt like, and I would imagine, speaking from a leader's perspective, and you don't read about it bothering these guys that gave these instructions, so I'm striving to get to their place. But can you imagine a prophet going and telling the kings and the armies, here's how you're going to win this battle. Go get a shovel. And not only go get the shovel, but tell those folks that they need to start digging ditches. I'm sure they found it a bit ridiculous when he said, make this valley full of ditches. But you see, sometimes all the time we need to start where and the way God wants us to start. And sometimes that means starting small. Hear me, somebody, your big answer is coming, but it's going to come from some small, what we think are small actions. Sometimes God wants us to start small. Sometimes God wants us to start big. Someone said this, many don't think big enough, but even more won't start small enough. We think the miracle has to come, and there has to be some great dramatic presentation on our part. But many times, it may be all that God is asking for, a lifted hand. Now sometimes he may say, lift both hands. And sometimes he may ask a little bigger. He may say, well, just step out into that aisle and walk with your hands lifted up. I mean, I don't know. I'm just pulling some stuff out of the air. I'm just saying you never know where God's going to start. But if he starts small, you start small. Here's the formula. Believe big and start small. Don't let your faith be small. But let your start, if that's what God wants. Sometimes God is only prompting us to take small action. For instance, when we get ready to come here in a few minutes, it's coming when everybody else comes for a time of prayer. Other times, God is going to ask for bigger faith. And I want you to know that the leadership of this church and this church is elastic enough in the Spirit and accommodating enough in the Holy Ghost. If God wants you to come down at the time you're the only one, or if it's at a time in the service that isn't a call time of prayer, but you feel faith and you feel the prompting of the Lord to say, I just need to go down there and let folks lay hands on me for this healing that I need or for this answer that I need, whether it's big or whether it's small. The important thing is, if God says, get a shovel, go get a shovel. Maybe they were waiting on a word that says, okay, Elisha's stepping up. I just saw a vision. And I saw all you three kings and armies. And I saw that Moabite army. And I saw their general laying over in his chariot with a sword through him and an arrow through him. And I saw thousands of his soldiers laying around. That isn't what God gave him. God said, just tell them to go start digging ditches. Just start small. There's somebody that God's dealing with about a small action right now. Or a big action. Don't be hesitant, or don't be ashamed, or don't be intimidated. One of the things that people of faith deal with in this last hour is the intimidation of cynicism, criticism, and skepticism. We deal with that even amongst ourselves. But overcome that. Grab the shovel that God says, I have. God has our size shovel. He's got a shovel that will fit our hands. And if we get desperate enough, I don't know how perfect this shovel is. I don't even know if it's the right size for me. But I can use it. It matters. It doesn't matter. If we're desperate enough, it doesn't have to be necessarily the right size. If there needs to be a ditch dug, and if there's an enemy encroaching and there's an answer needed, God will help us to be able to perform what we need to perform. Many times, the first steps of an answer or a miracle involve obedient work. Just start with works. I know we do preach a lot about faith, and we should preach more about faith. But sometimes we got to put some feet on our faith. One man likened it to being in a canoe, and faith and works work together. And you know what happens if you paddle with just one paddle. You go in circles. So if you paddle only with works, you won't get anywhere. If you paddle only with faith, you won't get anywhere. But if you'll put some works with that faith, and put faith with those works. And each of us struggle on each side, maybe to varying degrees. Only God can send the water, but we can dig the ditches. So if God says, I want you to fast a day, believe big, start believing God, and grab that shovel of fasting, or that shovel of prayer, or that shovel that says, I'm just going to reach out and contact them. Or I'm going to keep praying for them. Real faith works and believes big. But it starts small and it starts with work. How do you dig a ditch? One shovel at a time. One shovel full of dirt at a time. That's how you dig a ditch. Just one shovel at a time. Small faith, as we might call it. Small actions. And here's the second step of how to dig a ditch. Keep digging. God save my son. God save my son. God touch his life. God, work in his spirit. God, touch my mother. God, deal with my family.
Don't stop praying those prayers. Keep digging. Keep believing. Don't depend on how you're feeling or what you will see. Because the prophet said, you will not see wind nor rain. But just keep digging. If it get a little cloudy, God, I'd dig a little better. But we can't go by what we're seeing or what we're feeling. To dig a ditch, it's one service at a time. It's one altar service at a time. It's one prayer request at a time. It's one prayer meeting at a time. It's one fasted meal at a time. It's one song sung in faith at a time. Just keep digging. Just keep digging. Get your shovel. Get a hold of it and believe God. There is nothing too hard for God. There is nothing too hard for God. We believe that. I know you believe that. But I just feel like the Lord wants us to celebrate that with a faith. And put some works with that faith right now. The works of our voice and our clapped hands. That says, God, you are great and you are greater than the problem, than the situation, than the question, than the wall that I am up against. Would you just give God a great praise that he is greater and more powerful and he is able? That's right. Go ahead. Lord, I praise you. Yes, we do, God. We praise you. We do not do this as Pentecostal protocol. We do this because of a faith in you. Because of who you are and what you can do. There's nothing too hard for you. There's nothing too hard for you. Come on, somebody. While you're praising him, God is going to do that work. Whew. Ha ha. Whew. Blessed are those that have not seen, like those armies standing there and those kings that had not seen the water come yet, but they obeyed, they believed, not seeing. And in this case, God performed a very timely, a very strategic, and even a remote miracle. God has remote control. Here's what he said. He said, you won't see wind or rain. He was talking to those soldiers that were on location. What he didn't say is important too. He didn't say there wouldn't be any wind or rain. He just told them they wouldn't see the wind or rain. Here's what God was thinking. I'm going to send a rainstorm. And you can read this in the remainder of the text and get the general meaning of this. He said, these waters flow from Edom. God sent a rainstorm in the mountains of Edom, a distance from where they were, remote from where they were. And he caused that storm to come, and they didn't see the wind, and they didn't see the rain. And that rain came at just the right time. Because there had to be this timing, you know. It has to fall in the mountains. Then it has to flow down the mountain streams. Then it has to get down to the valley. And then it has to arrive in that valley. And then it has to fill those dried up stream beds and those ditches that they had dug. And God did that so that when they needed the water to drink and they needed the water to be there for Moab to look and think that's blood, and cause them to attack prematurely, God times it all just perfect. He times it so that his will can be done. I am going to very confidently tell you, and I do not know all the situations that I'm speaking to, but God has already timed your answer. And it's going to be a remote answer. God can be working in one place and time it just right so that when you need your answer and miracle is ready. God can be working in the mountains so that you can get your answer in the valley. And the size of your prayer request and your answer and your vision isn't intimidating to God. It is to us, the three armies. And maybe there's somebody that's dealing with three or more situations. Or if it's only one, it feels like you're surrounded by as many as three or more. God is not intimidated by that need that you have. So he is going to send a storm in the mountains. And you may start believing today or have already started believing, but you do not see the wind nor the rain. I want to tell you today, do not let that manipulate your faith. Can I get an amen on that? Okay. And more an amen in our spirit and in our mindset. Do not let that hinder, stop, or manipulate your faith. Here's the way God put it in verse 18. And Elisha said it this way, this is but a light thing in the sight of God. In other words, it's simple. It's easy. It isn't going to take too much. This is how God was looking at the circumstance. They were looking at it, we're about to be annihilated. We're about to be defeated. We are about to no more be a nation. Moab is going to win. Listen, the enemy is not going to win that battle you're in. The enemy is not going to win that battle. This is but a light thing, a simple thing to the Lord. God was not demeaning the difficulty they were in. He was exposing his power and how great he is. So the lesson is, look at your problem through God's eyes. Here's what I see. Here's what God sees. Here's what I see. But here's what God sees. I can't do it, not by might, not by power. What I see is an incurable sickness. But God sees it as a light thing. What's hard for us is easy for God. What's impossible for us is possible for God. He says today to Elisha and to all of us, it is but a light thing in the sight of God. I'm going to tell you, God is going to work in that mountain. And those ditches of faith that you have dug, God's going to fill them up. Look, God can deal with a boss. You know, sometimes God's doing stuff and we don't know it. Elisha wasn't up there in the mountains. He didn't have any idea there was a rainstorm up there or any wind up there. God can work on lawyers. God can work on judges. God can work on insurance personnel. God can work on that lost loved one. God can work anywhere, any place, any time. There's nothing too hard for God. You know, sometime maybe today be a good day just to have an altar call, an impossible altar call. Just impossibilities. People start bringing impossible situations down to God, saying on your way down with every step, it's but a light thing to you, God. You can do this, God. It's in your hand. Stand with me if you would, please. You can do it. You can do what I'm asking, and you can do even something greater than what I'm asking. It's but a light thing to you. It's but a light thing to you. Now, they were asking and needing water so that they could get something to drink, so that their cattle could get something to drink, and so the beast, the burden they were using, could get something to drink. That's what they were asking. But God said, I'm going to fold a miracle inside the miracle. And I feel to say to somebody, you're not only going to get one miracle, you're going to get a miracle folded inside the miracle. Whew. I feel the anointing of prophecy on me right now. You are not just going to get one miracle. You are going to get a miracle folded into the miracle. The other miracle was when the enemy got up, what was against them, the opposition that was against them, when it got up and it looked out there, what they saw, the reflection of the sun, or whatever the other dynamic that God used, caused that water to look as red as blood. And those wise soldiers on the Moabite team that had fought many battles before, they weren't unlearned soldiers. When they looked, they thought they saw blood because there hadn't been any liquid there before. And what they said to themselves, these armies have gotten into it themselves, and they've gone to killing one another. So let's just go down and let's take them now while they're fighting one another. And of course, they came down, and Israel and Judah and Edom were ready because they had heard from God. Whatever your situation is, if your life needs to be changed, come on down here. If you have somebody that's on your heart and life, come on down here. It's but a light thing to God. And God's asking for us to do. It may be big to you or it may be small to you. But God is just waiting for us to you know what you'll be doing? You're putting your hands on the shovel right now. And you're believing God and you're digging a ditch for him to be able to fill. This prayer right now is you obeying the Lord and digging that ditch of faith so that God can be loosed. Don't hinder God right now, please. Do not hinder God. Do not hold back his hand. He's wanting to release. He's wanting to cause that storm in the mountains and send that wind in the mountains. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, he can calm the storm, but he can call for a storm too. Yes, believe it. That's it, believe it. I'm going to believe you, Lord, for the impossible. It's but a light thing to you. It's big to me, it's heavy to me, but it's light to you, oh God. Yes, there's nothing too hard. That's it, let your faith flow. That's right. Let your faith flow. I'm asking everyone in this building, would you somehow, some way pray and let your faith begin to flow. Let faith meet with faith. Let faith interlock with faith. Hallelujah. That's right. We know, God, according to your word and according to your testimonies in our lives, we know, oh God, that you have done this before and you are no respecter of time or persons. And you will do this again. Yes, you will, God. You will. Your word is to us today. That's it. That's it. Hallelujah. Start small, but believe big right now. Yeah. It may be something you've done scores of times already. This is repeated for you coming down for prayer. But God counts it. God sees it. It's another shovel in the hard dirt and cracked ground of a wilderness. But God works in the wilderness. Yes, you do, God. You did it for these armies. You will do it for this people. Yes, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, when you call us to pray, when you call us to give, when you call us to fast. Help us to obey you now, Lord. Help us to obey you, O Lord.